This is an Alliance podcast.
What up, world?
I'm here.
You making it?
I'm struggling.
It gets better?
Really? Oh. You're not gonna use my words on me? This is not how this is gonna work.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, I'm here. It's Sky here. No longer limping.
Okay.
From the Southwest Atlanta 404 repping in the Southern California high stepping. With the beach decor, and I'm not wearing velour. It's the Wild Wild West is in session, and I'm with.
Sorry. I wasn't prepared for that. Sorry. What's up, y'all? It's your girl Sills, from VA to up to down all day. Now living in the PNW in the smoke filled haze, breathing in the smoke on these hot summer days. Bars. No, not at all. Clearly not as good as yours. But yeah, and who are we?
Oh yeah, we are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
That'll lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
So, this week. So we're going to talk about the next installment of the SBFC Soccer School. We're going to talk about soccer basics and tactics.
Right. And then we'll talk about this week in the NWSL and go over our superlatives.
And then we're going to preview the Olympic tournament, particularly our group stage predictions and teams to watch.
Yes. And then finally... I'm sorry, not finally. We're going to give you another installment of SBFC All-Star Wars, this time the U.S. versus Europe.
Mm-hmm. And what that means, and we'll define what that means, because that's complicated. And then, as always, we're going to bring you our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week. Hey, hey.
All right, sounds good. Let's get started.
Let's start with the soccer school.
Okay, I didn't know we had music that went with that.
I mean, there should be music. It's gonna be music. I don't know what music, but some music is here. So this week we're gonna talk about the rules of the game. We're gonna give some of the rules because there's several rules. Because you need it because the Olympics are coming up. And because as we'll talk about with these NWSL games, referees have their own interpretations of the situations.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, what is a car? Whatever. Anyway, yeah. So let's start it off. So first thing, what's the first definition? Is a handball?
Yes. And what is so that? A handball is when the ball makes contact with any part of the arm below the shoulder, and it is considered outside of a natural or defensive frame, which is part of the referee's interpretation.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So the players who can get a handball are the non-goalkeeping people.
Yes.
But in theory, any field player. A goalkeeper could get a handball. Wait.
If they step
outside the box.
Yeah, if they're outside of the box and then they use their hands because they're considered a field player at that point. So
there we go.
So the handball rule has changed in the past couple of seasons just to make it not as harsh. But again, referees call games differently. So it depends on the day.
Yep.
All right. You want to go next?
Okay. The next one is a throw-in, and that results from the ball going out of play anywhere on the sidelines, but not in the end lines. Right. So let's take a step back. When you have the whole soccer field, the end lines are the lines that are behind the goal. So that box where you kick the ball into the net. If the ball goes out behind there, then you'd have a corner kick or a goal kick, as we'll define in a second. So yeah. A throw-in happens when the ball goes out on the sides of the side of the field. If you're watching football, the whole long way of the field. The longitudinal.
Yes. The longer line.
The longer lines of the fields. If it goes out that side. If it goes out the shorter width of the pitch, then you'd have a corner kick or a goal kick. So what is a corner kick?
So a corner kick is given to the attacking team, so the team on offense, when the defense kicks the ball out by the end line, which is where the goal is. So if the defense kicks the ball past their own end line, because it would be on their defensive half or defensive third, the attacking team gets a corner kick where the ball is placed on either the right or left corner, depending on where it went out. And you'll see, if you look at the pitch, that little like triangle, circle. But it's not flat. Yeah, circle, half circle. And that's where the ball has to be placed in order for you to take the corner kick. And you have to wait for the referee's whistle. But it's a, we call a set piece. So it's a goal scoring opportunity from a dead ball.
Yes. Yeah. Well, look at that. So then a goal kick is when the ball goes out of play on the other, behind the inline. And it's done by the attacking team.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's when the goalkeeper will then get the ball and kick it out the box.
Yes.
Usually where the penalty line is, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Goalkeepers do what they want to. But anyway.
yeah.
Then next.
Next is probably the most subjective call in soccer. Is the foul, or a common foul as it is known, is when a player, in theory, kicks, trips, jumps at, charges, strikes, holds, or spits at or on an opponent. We probably could add biting because that's happened too.
Yeah.
soccer's a wild sport. So in theory, you're not allowed to do those things. However, you are allowed to like leverage yourself. You are allowed to attempt a tackle as long as you get ball and you don't take out a player on the follow through. And you are allowed to sort of jostle back and forth. But again, it depends on the referee. Some are more lenient than others.
Yeah. So if you do something too egregious, then you're going to get a card. So you get a yellow card.
Yeah.
Which usually when your foul goes beyond just a typical, don't do that again. Mm-hmm. Or something that will give you a basic free kick. But then you could have require a red card. And actually, yeah. Let's define these kicks before we go into those cards, actually.
Okay. So
a direct free kick is a dead ball kick that the team awarded to kick can score from directly. So yeah. That's usually comes from a foul or a handball. Some of these are more dangerous to others depending on where it happened. Right. So like an example of this is when Megan Rapinoe in particular can kick a ball outside of the box directly at goal. That's a direct kick versus an indirect kick. You have to kick it. You have somebody else the person who kicks the ball has to have somebody else touch the ball before it can score. And it's usually there's usually hand signals done to indicate which is which
by the referee, and the direct free kick is more common than the indirect because typically you're going to get a free kick from a foul or a handball. I think we can go over another time what gets you an indirect free kick. Usually it's like goalkeeper errors, some of that type of stuff. And all of this is outside of the box, because inside of the box, if a foul occurs or a handball occurs, you are awarded a penalty kick. Mm-hmm. And so a penalty kick is awarded to an attacking team when a foul occurs inside the 18-yard box. That player, a single player from the attacking team, will line up on the penalty spot, and you'll be able to see it marked by the ref. And the goalkeeper either saves it, doesn't save it, or the player misses, essentially. But it's the equivalent of like a free throw, right? It's just you and the goalkeeper. And it's a free point in theory.
Yeah, in theory. Yeah. Oh, so think about, okay, so I found something. So basically, in general, direct hit comes from a contact, foul, or handball. Anything else is an indirect kick. With that said, interpretation is everything. That goes off the rails. And so that denotes then a yellow card, red card. Because if you have a super egregious foul and you get hit with the yellow card, that's a super warning, because two of those get you a red card that will get you booted out of the game, and then the next game suspension. And then your team goes down a player. So if Sylvia's running around here and she yells at me and she gets carded, and then she tries to drop kick me the next time and she gets carded again, she'll get a red. Their team will go from 11 players to 10 players. And then you don't have the same advantage. And then Sylvia can't play next game. You like
All right. All right. Government's out there. But that's fine. thank you. So those are the rules on that. And then we saved the best for last.
Yes. The offsides.
Offsides, which no one actually understands. Because there's so many interpretations.
Actually, it's understood, but people make up stuff for what it is.
How it's interpreted is the issue. But what is offsides, right? This is the question I think people ask the most when it comes to learning soccer. So, in theory, a player cannot be beyond the last field defender. So this does not include the goalkeeper. When the ball is passed to either that player or a player in close proximity to that player. A player can be offsides if they're not directly affecting the play or goal scoring opportunity. However, that is not always the case. Sometimes it's still called. You cannot be offsides on a corner kick, a goal kick, or a throw in, but you can be offside on a free kick. Also, you should not be ruled offside if the part of your body that is considered offside is not a part of the body you can score a goal with, like your arm or your hand. However, doesn't mean it doesn't get called. So that's how offside is supposed to work. There's a lot of layers to offside as well, but that's the general idea.
So the funny thing about this direct kick situation, and this is why people almost usually you may see a card, yellow cards fly out during direct kicks because of this, because people are jockeying, because in theory you can be offsides. And so, you know, if somebody doesn't directly kick it at the goal, but your teammate, if you're on the team that's about to do the kick, if your teammate in theory then gets a head start, they could score. So you've seen things like, what was that? That was the U.S. women were playing China. During, Christmas Press's 100th game. And her goal, her penalty kick got called back because
That was a weird one.
Crystal was said to be offside, but she wasn't. But it was something along these lines where they called it offsides. It could have gone anyway by the definition, but it shouldn't have been called. Because other players, she was actually on. And this causes like a lot of fury, because when you get into the space of is a person impacted to play, you'll have people pissed off because somebody scores a goal and everybody's like, yo, that person was offsides. And they were like, well, they didn't impact the play. But it's like, but did they though? Because what you'll see defenders do is they'll try to hold up the line to then force people offsides. But if the line judge doesn't call it and somebody scores, then you screw you SOL. So,
unless you have VAR and they reverse it, but a whole different. We'll but do VAR another day.
We'll do VAR another time. We kind of don't need VAR, but then we do. But So we define rules, but what happens for the real interpretation of the situation?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's up to it's discretion, right? And refereeing is not a consistent skill. We'll just put it that way.
Oh, and that's perfect segue for
yes.
This week in the NWSL Chaos League. Starting with the first game where the Houston Dash played North Carolina Underdog Courage, where the underdogs, yes. they lost.
Yes, they did.
To Houston, 2-1.
2-1. Admittedly, I did not see this game in real time. I had to do family things on Saturday. But yeah, speaking of offsides, there were two offsides calls against North Carolina in this game.
A beautiful goal.
Yeah, that was called. Was it Jessica?
Yep, it was Jessica. J-Matt, Jessica, one of the delegations, she scored a beautiful goal. And it was called offsides.
Yes.
And I guess.
Razor thin. I know a lot of people who don't think, especially the second one was iffy, but I've seen a few think the first was too. Either way, if you're a North Carolina fan, you probably feel like you should have gotten at least a point out of this match. I think North Carolina probably outplayed Houston. But Houston tends to win these type of games, or at least draw. Yeah.
Right.
I think it was Groom, and who else scored?
Oh,
I can see your face. I can't think of her name right now. But yeah.
I don't
recall. I probably should have had those stats up. I apologize. But anyway, a much needed 3 points for Houston to stay in that middle of the table mix.
It's Gabby Seiler.
Seiler. Okay. Thank you. Same with North Carolina. They're still toward the top of the table. They probably had more wiggle room than some other teams. But North Carolina is going to be searching for answers, right, with who they're missing. It seems to be a common theme. And I think Houston's probably going to have some up and down games as well with their identity missing. And in theory, those players are going to go pretty far into the Olympics. So, those are both teams that will certainly be searching, I think, for the next few weeks as a decent chunk of their team is away. Midfields.
It's definitely an emergency. Kristen Hamilton scored in the 16th minute for North Carolina. And what's crazy is North Carolina, I saw this game, but then I couldn't believe what I was seeing. They had like 64% of the possession.
Yeah.
And they had 12 shots, but they still lost this game. But hey, character building, I guess.
That wasn't the only wild result this week, based on statistics. The next group of matches happened on Sunday. The first being the Washington Spirit versus Gotham FC. And this game ended up being 2-3 Gotham.
Yep.
However, Washington led twice in this, or led once and then tied. Yes. And they played about 80 minutes of this match, plus stoppage time with 10 players.
Yep.
The referee gave a red card to Staub, but she originally gave it to
Nelson.
Wrong player. The refereeing in this game, probably some questions about that. Sure, Richie Burke has an opinion. having said that, it was still 0-0 when they went down to 10, and there were two. Washington Spirit's front line is starting to click, and they put two into that goal. The first one by Trinity Rodman.
That was a
Press Junior.
Yes, that was very Press Junior without the sidestep to do it.
And from the left, which is her stronger side, apparently.
Yep.
So she hasn't been playing on her strongest side most of the season. She's been on the right.
Yep.
Just individual brilliance, which she's very capable of. And then Ashley Sanchez also had herself a game and ended up scoring off of a direct free kick.
Yeah.
Nice little worldly of a goal there. But Gotham, after going down, scored two pretty quick ones, right? Like a really fluky goal.
The 24th.
Yeah.
Kasumi scored.
And then
McCall scored
off a header. That was, yeah. She was pretty open on that. The defense, which again, they were down to 10, which meant Andy Sullivan had to drop back to the back line. And was still out here diamond passes. But yeah, and then it was 2-2 for a very long time. Yes. But player of the match, Mitch Purse.
Purse
pretty much had a lot of freedom. Didn't finish all of her chances, but and was, I would argue it was a penalty in the box on her.
Yes.
That got the red card, but they didn't call it a penalty. They said it started outside the box. Yeah, the rule is, wild. The rule is if you're fouled and it continues through the penalty area, it's penalty.
Right.
Those are the new rules, but the refs did not call it that way. See, subjective. And but Midge scored off of a pretty cheeky, like it was a tap-in. It was a poached goal. But it was the game winner. So
yep.
The Midge Purse Revenge Tour continues. And that Gotham defense, a little shaky, but it also took two really great goals to to get past them. So again, bend but don't break type of defense, and they put out
because Didi and Estelle blocked something crazy. They had a moment. There was a full brick situation where it was like, whoo, that was fire. I will say Allie Long, she almost killed Midge. She had a couple moments.
Yeah, she did. Midge had a rough game. Midge gets beat up a lot if you really look at it. And Evie had a good game as well. Like I said, missed some chances, but I believe she got an assist on one of those goals.
Yes. To Midge,
yes. So like they're both really impactful players on that front line. And I would imagine they should start. Unless you're giving them a rest, they should be starting all the time. But Gotham continues to just be steady and hold one of those top spots. And yeah, just a good young team, and good for them winning after a really busy week for that club.
Yes.
So we'll leave it at that, but there's definitely been some goings on at Gotham here recently. But they keep winning. So, hey, all you do is get points.
Mm-hmm. Unlike in the next match.
I still don't know what to do with this.
Don't do that. We're going to talk about the Chicago Red Stars.
Yes, so the Chicago Red Stars are good. Like they
Hold on. We gotta talk about why they good. Because they beat your OL Reign.
They beat OL Reign despite an
three to
one, yes. I'm trying to talk about the game, truly.
so you're not emotional?
No, not at this point.
You're not emotional.
No, what's the point?
We're on that stage of grieving. Okay.
So by the end of the first half, it was 1-0 OL Reign, who had a ton more chances than they put away. And that would come back to haunt them because Chicago played probably one of their worst halves of football this year, and still got away with it. And then Chicago remembered they're probably the best defense in the league. And so they played like it in the second half. There was about that 10 to 15 minute swing at the beginning of the second half when they adjusted, and we did not. Now we were missing Hyatt, who was injured, and was playing that center back role, and so Chicago rightfully took advantage of that, because I don't think we made the right sub there. And also Mal Pugh's having a season and was able she just was able to run it well in the second half and get into spaces. Chicago's best goal scorer is not Mallory Pugh, though.
It was the own goal. However,
mm-hmm.
the own goals was caused by Mallory Pugh. See, these things understand.
I'm not arguing with you.
While the own goal soccer ball might get the hat with the Chicago Red Star situation. Let's be clear. In this game, Mallory Pugh should have had a hat trick. But defenders' feet got in the way, trying to stop what was going inevitably into the goal. Because now we're people falling.
You have to force. Yeah, you have to force the issue. Own goals typically happen, because somebody's making plays and is in the right place at the right time and catches the defenders off guard. I think the second one in particular was sort of the death knell. And then Mallory Pugh hit a worldie for the third goal.
Yes.
And we just stopped attacking, it seems. And Ziara had a really good game, but people weren't making runs and weren't on the end of those passes. I just don't really know why we're so inconsistent and can't have two games in a row where we get points. The pieces are there. And so we've just got to figure out how to put together a string of games. And this is the time to do it because we got a new coach. But being in the hole when Laura Harvey gets here or gets back, I should say, is not ideal. So we got to, these next four games, we really got to hunker down, I think, and at least get two wins out of it, and probably a draw. So we'll see what that looks like. But I'm at the acceptance stage at this point. So, but yeah, props. I mean, Chicago, that defense, regardless of who's missing, is just a stalwart defense. And I anchored by Sarah Gordon, sort of as they go, she goes.
Let's get Sarah.
Or she goes, there you go.
Ball it.
So yeah, there's that.
Oh yeah, I will say Mauro, the great, she tried, she almost, actually it shook everybody. She tried to hit a bicycle kick. And yes, that's like when you try to kick the ball backwards, bicycle style, like over, flip backwards.
Yeah, you fall, bicycle kick, like, y'all, on your back and kick your legs over your head, essentially.
She almost, the goalkeeper was not paying attention, it would have went into goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was on target. Like, that was a heck of a shot, and she said, why not, I think, at that point.
Everybody was shook. I was shook. Yeah. I scream.
And that's a team with several players who can hit that kick. So it'll be interesting to see if they pull it off before the season's over. But yeah, that's the tale of my inconsistent team.
Okay. It gets better.
Yeah, I hope so. And then the last match of the week
was
the battle for first place.
Yes.
So that was Portland versus Orlando in Portland. Mm-hmm. And this match ended up being 2-1 for Portland.
Yes.
So a few highlights. The baby, as we call it, Sophia Smith, hit an absolute bomb.
Yes.
Past Ashlyn Harris for the first goal. We can call that near post for her because she was on the right. She hit it early. So, like, I don't think Ashlyn knew that was coming.
Didn't nobody know it was coming. She just took a drink. She was like, okay, you got me.
She felt froggy. I guess that was a mic check that worked. And then, honestly, Orlando, it was probably more evident in this game than ever that they don't have a midfield.
None at all.
None.
None. No midfield at all.
Portland pretty much did whatever they wanted. Should we be worried that Portland can't score more?
Yes, because they should have been all over. Like, if Cindy LaRue can successfully defend you and she really has no help in the midfield and you're the Portland Thorns.
Yeah.
You should have put, I thought they were going to whoop them, actually. Because I was like, they up here having set piece practice out here. Like, you know, they out here shooting practice. Yeah, I kind of would be concerned, but I don't know. If it was so easy that it's one of those days,
it could be. And I mean, obviously, you know, there's a good goalkeeper on the other end, and you have some decent defenders. Yeah, they're missing Kruger. Defenders too. Yeah, yeah. But
I mean, you still had Allie Kruger, you still had Tony Presley, you still had Amy Turner.
Who can't back pass like that in this league? That was very dangerous. I would not recommend doing that because they pressed her very early and I was like, they know you're going to do that. That's why they're pressing you.
You gotta stop doing that.
This ain't England. You can't do that with the speed in this league. And then the second goal, shout out to Marissa Everett. I believe this is her first regular season goal.
Yeah.
Off of a beautiful header that, to be fair, probably should have been saved.
Yes.
But nonetheless, heck of a placement on that goal. So shout out to her. And she liked our tweet shouting her out. So
hey, Marissa,
here for you. That Orlando team is missing some very important pieces, and it's very evident. Sid's the heartbeat of that team. She almost hit one. But they did get a goal off of a beautiful pass from Abby Kim.
Yeah.
Who scored that? You would think, it starts with a V. Viziano yes. scored it. It was the battle for first, but I mean, Orlando's still in second place, which is not where anybody expected them to be.
Right.
This season, Orlando's, I think, turned over a new leaf and doesn't seem to quit and plays well late, if for no other reason than they play desperate. So, I think they'll still be fine and be able to tread water until the team gets back. But they desperately need, like, Marta and some other
people.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. For sure. So, yeah, because... it was getting violent. It was really
violent. That was an aggressive game. I think Weaver and somebody else left on crutches. Like, it was.
I forgot. Weaver got taken out.
That was a physical game.
Yeah, a bunch of them got hurt. Sydney almost went to glory. Taylor almost went to glory. Several people almost went to the afterlife. Yeah. It was pretty violent. Actually, they had even possession. And, Portland should have scored more because they had 20 shots on. 20 shots. That's a lot.
They did. And that's been fairly consistent with them. So that's the only thing that I think gives me a bit of pause with them is that they don't put away chances consistently enough. And I think in part because that front line's really young.
Yes,
probably. And so they struggle to do that. And I don't think that'll be an issue until maybe the playoffs, but we'll see what that looks like. Right. And there's a trade window open, so everybody can retool if they need to. Yep. But that's the games for this week, and we'll quickly jump into our superlatives.
And the music drops now. All right, okay. So for the Shea Butter Bomb of the week, is this really a bomb or is this a boom?
They can be two booms if you want to do that.
I mean, I think they need to switch. I think the Shea Butter Bomb...
No, it's hard. It's a hard. I mean,
we're well, yeah, I think choice. Okay. See, I think the Shea Butter Bomb of the week is Trinity Rodman because it was close to range.
Okay.
And then the Shea Butter Boom would be Sophia Smith.
That's fair. That was a distance. I think you're right. It was from further out. You have those two honorable mention to Mal Pugh as well, who ripped one. Shea Butter Dime. We have a tie between Abby Kim and then Ife Onamanu, who that's how you say it. Because it did not sound like that on the broadcast this week at all. It's a U, like, not an O. It's phonetic, I promise. You have Shea Butter and one Asher.
Asher from Washington Spirit cooked up Allie Long.
Jamaican delegation? She plays for Jamaica, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, sorry, people are dropping things in my house. definitely put Allie Long, who didn't have a great game.
I actually put her on the Segra pellets.
We forgot to mention that pitch. While playable, not great.
Are we going to talk about that later? Actually, okay. Now I got a rant. All right.
Yeah. Okay, that's
and
fair.
For the Shea Butter Brick, Sarah Gordon was good.
Yes. Yeah, particularly in that second half, just really... hunkered
down. Brett. Although I would say even honorable mention was there was a sequence of plays in that Gotham game where Estella Didi saved some lives. It was getting real rough. It was a period. Ashley and Trinity was up here sniping shots.
They were having themselves a match, and honestly, there were decent stretches of that match when it didn't look like Washington was the team with 10 players. Still a good defensive effort by Gotham, and they keep doing it week in and week out.
Mike check. Sydney LaRue had a beautiful one.
Yeah.
But like you said, actually, Sophia Smith's, that probably was intentional mic check, but it became a goal. And then the Shea Butter heat check, the whole game, that was Orlando versus Portland. That was pretty violent. I don't know what in the world that was a lot.
That was just a violent game. Big NWSL after dark energy on that one, because that game was at 7:30 West Coast time. So yeah, people were up late watching that yesterday. I didn't look at outfits.
Outfit, Jorian. What's up? How you doing? Okay. You out here all on right, the single right. week. She had the dunks and the coordinated with the pants. And it was the like, week gets, yeah. The, yeah, she had to bye week get fits and it matched the nails. Fire.
Okay. Nice, nice. Shout out to Jorian. We're the Free Jorian podcast.
Yeah. Also, wait. I also got to shout out Z again because she had the fresh cut and it was like all cut and fire. Yes. And it was like locked up, leaked up. That was fire.
Yeah, very clean, very clean. Very clean. And then player of the week.
Woo.
A lot of options.
It could have been Midge. It could have been Iffy, but
it could have been Midge with the game winner, and Midge and Iffy absolutely affect that front line. But we went with Malpia.
Yeah.
Because she was the Red Stars.
She was the Red Stars offense. Yes.
Yeah.
By herself.
Carrying the load.
Sounded like one of her, you know, good friends on a national team.
Yeah, the parent.
Yep.
Parent child. She probably got a few kids at this point.
Right.
clearly it's showing up. Those corner kicks, I'm just saying.
Corner kick. Yeah, that was phenomenal. Those accurately placed.
Mal's hit a lot of those corner kicks. Looks like somebody I know.
Yeah.
Mal's definitely I think not feeling as much pressure and is just able to thrive in Chicago and is getting the job done. So props to her. And so that is the end of our first segment.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could take a quick break.
Go take a quick break because we're going to talk about this Olympic situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming. It's here this week. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
This week on the For the Culture Soccer Podcast, a soccer podcast for us, by us. This week we're joined by Dan Bond, the protagonist of soccer, and Westside SC president Chris Kessel as we discuss the finals of the Euro 2020 and Copa America 2021. We also talk about the NISA Independent Cup. Join me, Grego, TK, on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTD YouTube channel.
What's good? We're back in the studio. All right, it's time to talk about these Olympics.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so the Olympics get started early.
They get started like in Wednesday. Tomorrow.
Yeah, early morning on Wednesday.
This is why we're recording this episode today.
Yes. Yeah, we're trying to beat the first matches.
Yes.
So everyone's in action on Wednesday, which is actually 2 days before the opening ceremonies.
Yep.
So the marquee matchups on Wednesday are probably Japan-Canada, for sure. Yep.
Yes.
And we, the United States women's national team, will be playing our nemesis,
Sweden.
Yeah. And yeah, I guess we can, I don't know, maybe we can point out a few teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
That could be contenders for the United States, which is a pretty heavy favorite.
Right. Our first match, Sweden. Brazil.
Always Brazil, I think, particularly in international tournaments.
Yes.
No defense, just vibes, usually.
Just vibes. No defense, Brazil. All vibes, yeah.
But also people can't defend Brazil, so that works out
for
them.
Yeah. The host country, Japan.
Yeah, I think that rebuild has gone well for them, and they have sneaky good talent. Canada.
Yeah, yeah,
I Canada. I think they might be a tournament away, but yes. They've got a lot of talent. I think once they start putting goals away, they're going to be very formidable. I know a lot of people are big on the Dutch. I think they'll have a good tournament. I'm not necessarily worried about playing them.
Right, right. Although I will say before we leave Canada, if we play them, that would be very violent.
Yes, that's going to be an incredibly physical game.
I guess I want to see what Great Britain's going to look like because they ain't playing nobody. And we decided we're going to roll out Manchester City's squad.
Pretty much.
In this national tournament.
Pretty much. I think of the 22 that they have, I'm literally going through it in my head. You have what? Toon, MacGyver, Fran Kirby. I'm missing a few. Was it Bright? You have maybe 6 or 7 players who aren't playing for Manchester City on that entire team.
And I'm like, y'all could have had at least take Jess Fishlock with you.
Yeah, I probably would have chosen Jess Fishlock as my holding mid. But yeah.
Because I'm concerned for them. We'll see what happens. They get to play Chile first.
So they probably get 3 points out of that because Chile has issues scoring, though. They have the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah, I'm a little skeptical of where they're scoring goals. And for all the talk about our team not changing that much, neither has theirs.
It really hasn't. It's really bad.
That'll be interesting. And they've kind of been off since the World Cup. So,
And then the other one, I guess, what is Australia going to look like? Because it's been, we don't know what's coming on the field.
I don't know what that defense looks like.
Yeah, their defense has been interesting. It's going to be interesting. In terms of people playing the U.S., I personally think Vlacko is going to put out whatever formation he feels necessary to embarrass you. Because he's trying to send a message. And this is why they've been training and doing all this crazy extracurricular stuff. Yeah. And like I said previously, I don't think what they did in the first half of the last game was just for extreme circumstances. No, they plan on doing that all tournament.
So why leave a doubt, you know? We might not love every part of the team selection, but I do think we have the talent to pull off whatever he's thinking of.
Right, right. So
yeah, and I think a lot of people are nervous about the Sweden game, and that's fair. They play us close often. They're obviously the team that knocked us out of the 2016 Olympics. We'll talk about that later or another time. That's still a little off. It's also very hard to find the game, like disappear all the evidence.
They like deleted all the evidence off of Jesus Christ. But even with the Swedish, I really think the game is going to look, I have a really long memory, and it's going to cause them the similar problems when he released his system the first time they played Sweden under him.
Yeah, his first game, actually.
Yeah, where it was pretty violent and Sweden was like on skates. Because they were rotating people all over the place and it looked very similar to what happened in the first half of the Mexico game. So that's why I don't think that is a temporary thing. I think he intends on unleashing all hell during the whole Olympic tournament.
And I honestly think now if we have to meet Sweden again, I think it'll look different, but I honestly think we'll score three-ish goals, maybe four. Against Sweden, like I think the overload that they had designed when we played them earlier this year in the friendly isn't gonna work the same just because personnel will be different.
Right.
And I just think he's game planned for that. I do hope we've worked on our set piece defense because that's I think we have enough defense, particularly now that you know you can suit up a Casey Krueger if need be.
Yes.
I'm not terribly worried, or even getting out of the group. I think even for the teams we have questions about, eight teams get out of this. So it's the top two teams in each group and then the best two best third place finishing teams. Mm-hmm. So even if we have questions about like Great Britain or the Dutch, like they're going to get out of the group stages most likely. It's those knockout stages that are going to be
rough. That's what
and, and while the Olympics are important, obviously they're not the World Cup because it's not a singular soccer tournament. I would also like to note that some of the best teams in the world aren't here just because of how particularly UEFA, which is the European Federation, does qualifying. They just pick the top three teams in the World Cup. So, there's no France, there's no Spain, there's no Italy, maybe a there's Denmark, no Germany. Norway. No Germany. So a lot of the teams that I think could give us fits aren't in this tournament.
Yep. And well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
that's a perfect segue for the reintroduction of our segment, the Shea Butter FC All-Star Wars.
Yes,
which for we this week. Yeah, this week we're going to look at if we had an All-Star game, because it's an Olympics theme, if we had Team USA play Team World, or just Team Europe?
Team Europe. I didn't do world because that was a lot more players to
play. Oh, yeah, that's why this is.
But yeah, we wanted to do another thought exercise. Sorry, side note, the United States women play at 4:30 Eastern Wednesday morning, and you can watch on USA or Telemundo. Sorry, just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, we did this. Europe's a little bit easier. Sky's definition of Team USA is if your ass is born here or has citizenship.
Yes, you're on the team.
Because we do have a player that technically plays for another country but is a U.S. citizen.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm just making a caveat for people. Okay. So they know when they look it up, they're not confused.
Also, another important thing. So in this game, in our version of an All-Star game, there's unlimited substitutions, but you have substitution intervals. So every 15 minutes, you can potentially substitute somebody. And this is important for when you hear the starting 11.
I think we have similar players. Maybe we have different people starting. Let's go ahead and do it. I'm sure we'll have lively replies to this. So our starting 11 for the United States, and this is not the same as the national team, is going to be Adriana French in goal.
Let's go.
And then you can guess positions, but people play different places. So our starting field players, Crystal Dunn.
Yep.
Becky Sauerbrunn, Estelle Johnson.
Aha.
Casey Krueger.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Sullivan.
Uh-huh.
Rose Lavelle.
Yes.
Tobin Heath, Sam Lewis, Kristen Press, and I will give this one to Sky. She said Sid.
Yes.
I had somebody else, but they're on the bench, so we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
And then the European best 11, starting 11, I should say. I have Van Veenendaal. I said that right. She is the Dutch goalkeeper. Moppy Leon. Irene Paradis, Magdalena Eriksson, Lucy Bronze.
Oh.
I know. Alexia Putellas. Almost said Charlie Baltimore again. Sandy Baltimore. Ingrid Engen, Delphine Cascarino, Vivian Miedema, Fran Kirby.
Okay. And who's on that bench?
So U.S. subs, we have Lynn Williams. I had Trinity Rodman starting, but Trinity Rodman. Mitch Purse, Lindsay Horan, Sarah Gordon, Katarina Macario, Alana Cook, Tina Davidson, Chrissy Mewis, and Abby Dahlkemper. And then backup goalkeeper is Alyssa Nair. And then the European subs. Lindell is your backup goalkeeper, Sweden. Katoto, Hemp, Diani, Renard, Hannah Glass, Morrow, Gronin. I know. Gronin, Fishlock, Mielsda, if she's healthy, Ona Batier.
Wait, time out, Flag. So you gonna put Mara on the bench?
I have patellas over ahead of Marzon right now.
Okay. That's fine. We'll cook you up. Then you don't have to put her out there. It's cool.
Well, you get substitutes, so it's fine.
So yeah, it's funny. Like, so yeah, the substitute, it's got to be special rules. Because it's like, we're not doing this foolishness. I want it to be just like college, where you can be substituting people in and out. I would love for the professionals to be switching people in and out like that. That would be so fire. So when somebody gets cooked up, because I would love to see the look on a Pat Riley's face or a Rory Dame's face, or well, when Casey Stoney joins.
Yeah. All right, finish your thought. Technical difficulties.
But it doesn't matter. Like, you got the 15-minute intervals.
Yes.
To come through. So at 15, because you got 90, 15. So you got 3 interval stages to substitute people. Or it could be more, whatever. It's going to be like, whatever. It don't matter. Because we're going to cook you up. We go embarrass you. I just noticed this bench. Okay, so it's going to be all vibes. What is defense?
Clearly having defenders doesn't matter. I don't know.
It don't matter. I was going to say, maybe we can get away with one. We got that 2 back there. It don't matter. It's going to be a lot of people. People are going to get to fighting. It's going to be a brawl. We're going to have technical difficulties because somebody's going to try to bicycle kick something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be a showing out. And I think, too, next week we'll touch on having skills competition because that's a whole different type of disrespectful. But, yeah, I think I like the intervals. Are we doing, like, are we counting down like we count in college? Are we doing, like, the countdown clock?
Oh, that'd be cool, and it has some music. Be Liddy.
Yeah, we could do that.
3, 2, boing.
Yeah, we can use college soccer rules. Just since we're using subs, but yeah, I think that would be chaotic. I do think not to be a homer, I do think the U.S. team wins, but I don't think it's a blowout. It's not gonna be
close. I didn't see all these people on the bench. Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's an all-star game. That's how it's supposed to go. You got a lot of talent on the other side. But yeah, you got some real saucy, disrespectful humans playing for the U.S. side. So I think just on principle, they probably do it. But yeah, it's definitely a point of pride in there. And like I said, the skills competition would also be banging.
Oh, that's good for next week.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess it's that time, y'all, for one of the most popular segments of the week.
Oh, yeah.
So, y'all know what time it is. It's time for the hits and riffs. The hits and riffs.
Rants and raves. All right.
For the week.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's going first this week?
Okay, since you're singing, I guess I'll go first.
Okay, fine. Yes.
Okay. So my yesterday turn up is,
wow,
I genuinely don't think I did this one, but I might have, Crush on You, by Lil Kim.
Okay.
Featuring Lil Cease. I don't even know how to explain Lil Cease to people, who are alive for it. But just a classic track, peak Lil Kim, hardcore album, had no business listening to
that. That was my song. That was my joint with the different colors.
Yes, the wigs. I mean, Lil Kim was a moment.
They had all the, it was all the different rooms and the different colors. And the,
yes.
Got to crush on you. You not gonna see?
Peak, yeah, peak like Bad Boy, just over the top, colorful, shiny, but also talent, right? Like Lil Kim can spit. So yeah, it's just hardcore is one of the better albums released by a female MC, period, I would argue. So yeah, what a time to be alive that was. So shout out to Lil Kim. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday's Quiet Storm is Missing You by Mary J. Blige. I think that's off Share My World. Mary J. Blige had an impeccable like 3-hour album run in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's mine.
Okay, I'll see you out here. All right, so y'all know I'm old school. This is coming out of left field. People didn't expect this here. My yesterday turned up. was What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Okay. But a fool believes it sees the wise... Okay, that ain't right.
Shit. I'm not a soprano, so I'm not gonna try to sing it.
But it's, oh man, I can't even rip. But what a fool, like, I can't even do it right. I'm messing up.
I can't hit the note, so I'm not gonna try. I know how it goes, and I know better.
Wait, I'm up here singing another song. Anyway, I listened to that thing by the Doobie Brothers. Yeah, that's my thing. The beautifulness of the situation of the thing. That was
I thought you were about to play it. Sorry. Today is this technical difficulty day. It's fun. But you are playing it. Oh my God.
All right, okay. I'm chilling. I'm coming down.
Okay.
Oh, and then my quiet storm is Ambrosia. Their song, You're the Only Woman.
Okay.
Okay. With dedication. Because you and I have been in love too long. Don't worry about tomorrow. Here's a place where we both belong. I know you're the only woman that I dream of. You're the one I really love. You know.
Okay.
You know, that's my other song. You know, that gets me all emotional. That's a special dedication.
Okay.
In theory. Supposedly.
Wow. In theory. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know how it is.
A hypothetical dedication. Wow. Yeah. All right.
But, wait, hold on. You know, wait, hold on. Ambrosia.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were supposed to come with our tracks prepared.
It's dedicated to you, boo.
Okay. Hypothetically?
Okay, I'm done. All right.
Lord.
All right, what's your today?
Today turn up probably isn't super current. No, it's not super current. Beginning of the last decade, but I've got Mr. Problematic himself, 6'7" by Lil Wayne.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I like Wayne as a rapper, as a person, but very talented lyricist. But yeah, I liked a few of his albums. And then my today quiet storm is Wonder What She Thinks of Me, by Chloe and Haley.
Oh,
which is a very you can tell that their mentor is Beyonce. I have no feelings about Beyonce because I don't want any issues with the Hive, so I am a neutral. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, I really like Chloe and Haley actually, so yeah, that's what I've got.
Okay, so my today's quiet storm, so somebody posted this what's that thing called? A TikTok? Is that what children call it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Where somebody was like, I guess they were in Houston or somewhere. And they were like, how do you get about the hood, whatever. Anyway, this dude walks up. So white dude walks up and he starts rapping on Mike Jones.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
But Still Tipping. So okay. The quiet storm is not really a quiet storm. Still Tipping because it's going slow. By yeah. Mike Jones. Slim Thug and Paul Wall. Wait, hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Well, next week I'll have tipping it. What grains are I can't even do it.
Yeah, I will make sure I have the songs.
Catch my lane. We're switching with
the Oh my gosh.
I can't even do it.
No.
Shout out what I'm talking about. Back then, hoes didn't want me, now my hoes all over me. I'm out here.
Oh my God.
I'm acting the fool. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Together. And then my turn up would be How Low Remix, the remix by Mr. Ludacris. Mr. Chris Lovell Lovell.
Chris Lovell Lovell. Yeah.
Chris Lovell Lovell and Pone Daddy. Yeah, that's all right. Okay, if you're not from Atlanta, Chris Lovell Lovell used to be a DJ on 97.5, Hot 97.5. Was he on 107.9? Whatever. Yeah, he used to have a show, Chris Lovell Lovell and Poon Daddy. That's the thing, if you didn't know. But on the remix, he be spinning fire with Ciara and Pitbull. And I like Ciara's verse in particular, So she'd be like, how low can you go? And then she's like, say, how high can you stack the paper? a tribute to the performing arts industries.
Okay.
That's what we call it. But I like that remix. Like when people say, I want to hear how low, I want to hear the remix.
Okay.
People's verse be fire.
Mr. 305.
Well, I mean, he was still, I mean, he kind of sort of Mr. Worldwide at that point.
Mr. Worldwide.
But he was, he took it back to 305. What's good, Miami? What'd he do? But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, 305 Pitbull and Mr. Worldwide Pitbull are two very different people.
Very different. Woo, I was about to say something. I cannot say that on this podcast.
Okay, that's all right. All right. But those are our hits and riffs for the week. And now we'll jump into our rants and raves.
Yes.
Mine is more of an observation than a rant, but also let's talk about it. So for me this week, there was a goal scored by Renteria from Santos as Liga MX Femenil kicked off its new season this week. Mm-hmm. And I think they're still playing, actually.
Yes.
But she popped this shot from probably 35, something like that. Just an absolute bomb, super precise, far post from where she shot it. And it really had me thinking just about like the evolution of the game, particularly the women's game. I'm going to focus on that. But we're going to talk a bit quickly about shooting and speed, right? And how, for whatever reason, most countries and most places haven't used it as an advantage when it completely is. So to me, I'm going to use the basketball comparison, though I don't think they're fully comparable because you have shots worth different points in basketball. But it's kind of like there were always good shooters, but then Steph and Klay came along and made shooting that well from that far advantageous. It's kind of where I see soccer going. So I'm looking at Liga MX in particular and just like, it's a skill to be that good at shooting. They're not making these shots by accident. They're not taking these shots from that far outside of the box simply because they feel like it. They practice this stuff day in and day out. And so I think they're better shooters than most people in the world. And I think you get some of this in North America and some of it in South America as well. This hemisphere tends to be, I guess, more engaged with shooting versus sort of possession and the art of soccer in that way. But I think if you combine it, speed and shooting, it's going to be really hard to defend teams going forward, right? Because you'll always have to come out to defend. And when you do that, you draw the defense, you'll be able to pass it off and you'll be able to get your poachers in those spaces. So I think that the next evolution should be focused on shooting and having people with that particular skill set. I think the reason that it hasn't happened yet, and you can throw speed in here as well, is because soccer is pretty white in this country and in a lot of places, right? So the idea that shooting is a skill feels like other people don't buy into that. And that somehow that's what people sort of at the bottom rung of socioeconomics. You can throw in Black or brown people if you want, though. We can talk about, you know, poor white people as well. It's a skill that's reserved for people who don't really do soccer well, or do soccer the right way. And I think that's ridiculous because at the end of the day, you're supposed to score more goals than the other team. Like, you don't win unless you score more. So I think the difference, obviously, with basketball, like I said, every goal is worth 1 point, but it's still really advantageous to be able to have skilled shooters and have multiples of those on your team. And I see that coming. That's why I'm like, look out for the Mexican national team, right? Like, that's a skill set that they have that a lot of other national teams don't have, and they're really young, and so they can just keep refining it. Whereas like, I see a Spain coming, right? But at the end of the day, I would still question their finishing and their ability to shoot, because that's not what that country focuses on. Like, you can't name a lot of really famous strikers from Spain, except for that like golden generation of men. So it's just a difference of style, but I do think, much like basketball, shooting and speed in combination are sort of the next evolution. And you're going to start seeing those kind of players in the next 5 to 10 years, even in places like Europe, that'll probably be a little more resistant to it. But again, if you were just a little less racist and a little more appreciative of the other skill sets in soccer, because shooting is a skill, speed is a skill, and getting to those places and reading how to exploit those spaces is a skill. If you were just a little more open to that, you would be able to keep up with the trend of soccer. So I don't know. These are things I think about in my head, but that's sort of my observation.
Okay. So my thing is short. Okay. NWSL, whatever the hell y'all are doing with these fields, y'all gotta have standards and maintain standards across the league, to where you veto playing for a team if a field is not professional quality. The pellet hot mess bootleg field situation that was Sager Field in that Gotham DC game was unacceptable. A bunch of players almost hurt themselves badly. I'm like, still wonder, is Iffy okay? Is Trinity genuinely okay? You had even instances of part of how Allie Long had an interesting game, because she could have had a goal. She had to make a business decision. She couldn't slide in because the field wasn't stable. Like, they're up here kicking balls, and the ball's skidding because the pellets are flying because the turf wasn't set. And that's unacceptable. That's genuinely not safe. I had a kind of little flashback to when I was playing back in the day on a very dangerous pitch. These women make their livelihoods on this. So NWSL, you got to do better. I added y'all. I'll do it again. May add y'all on this episode. Like, it's unacceptable. It's not cool. You know, you already have people playing a Challenge Cup. Somebody like an Ali Watt got tore her ACL. Several other players tore their ACLs playing on turf like that. And then you got horrible turf where, I mean, that impacted the game to a point where if it's a better turf field, you know, this probably still a game with a bunch of vibes, and it could have been like 6-7, whatever. But we don't even know how good that game could have been, because players, it reached the point where you had to make business decisions. Because it just wasn't safe. So y'all need to be better. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that like, I know in theory it's playable, but it can't, at this level of soccer, that can't be where professionals are playing. Like, the ball looked like it was skipping rocks the whole time.
Right.
So that's a very fair point. We're almost at the end here, so let's
rave
really quickly. Like we said, the Olympics, well, they probably should not be happening. Kickoff in about 24 hours. So to quote Issa Rae, rooting for everybody black.
Good luck, black people. I hope we get through the games.
Maybe we'll see.
You may have certain games get gold medals and some games get canceled because everybody's not vaccinated. This is wild.
It's a mess, and they didn't think about travel, or some countries did really good prep work, some didn't, and it's just, it probably should have been postponed another year, but money talks. Mina Kimes has a really good conversation about why we shouldn't move the games every 4 years. I think she did it on ESPN today. That was pretty logical as well. But good luck all the same. People have worked their whole lives to compete in the Olympics. And then for me, quickly, we're recording on July 19th, and it is my parents' anniversary day.
Anniversary?
For 46 years. Black love and kindness. They met in college. And so if they listen to this episode, I just wanted to give them a shout out. I'm very proud to be your daughter. I've loved watching you all do marriage. So if I ever get there, I hope that it's as good as yours. So shout out to mom and dad. Thank you for making me, and I love you. I have emotions sometimes.
That's not the song.
Are you singing Tony, Tony, Tony? What are you singing? Okay. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's gonna appear. Don't worry. Appear. Y'all are hearing the anniversary. Don't it sound good, y'all? There we go. Gotcha. Yes. Out here.
So yeah, I think. And shout out to Meg and Meg Thee Stallion and Naomi Osaka for being on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was three women of color, I believe. So yeah, that was dope.
Yes.
So all right, well, let's wrap her up.
So yeah, what's good to the people? What's good, Can I Kick It? What's good for the culture? What's good, Diaspora United? What's good, Kaya McCullough? See a girl out here in the world. What's good, Two Cents? What's good, Protagonist? What's good, everybody who listens and supports? Yes. Hey, what's good, Bottom of the Map Podcast?
Yes, thanks for that shout out.
Yeah, I had to shout y'all out because y'all fire. If y'all haven't checked them out, make sure y'all check them out. They talk about Southern hip hop and the South, and they do a good analysis. Actually, what made me think about even when we talked about putting the music early in earlier episodes for Marching Band, I really flashed back to their episode where they talked about how Southern hip hop had influences from Marching Band and vice versa. And that's an incredible episode. So check them out on your little podcast situations. But anyway, as for next week, we're going to talk about these NWSL. Wow.
You got it.
We're going to talk about the Olympics.
Yeah, there'll be two games by there'll be two games by then.
It might be three. When are we shooting this? When we record? Yeah. And then I guess some more SBFC All Star situations. Maybe we do a top 10 list. I don't know. It's gonna be a lot of games. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of soccer this week. So we're gonna have a lot to focus on. And then as always, our hits and riffs and rants and raves of the week and whatever else might come up.
Yep. And please, can y'all not be racist? But we will. Yeah. There's other stuff to talk about. But yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. Yeah. But anyway, y'all prepare yourselves, because if you're on the West Coast, you got to get up. You got to either stay up or take a nap and get up to watch these games at 1 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning.
I'm napping.
Our East Coast people, you got to do the 4:30 a.m., 4 o'clock situation. Ooh. We do that on Saturday. Prepare yourself for Saturday, because that's when we wake up to go see those games.
But you remember when we had to do 4:30 for the WSL? Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about that. I'm trying to block that out. I blocked that out in my head. But
okay. The East Coasters get to feel our pain now, so it's fine. I think that's all for this week. Shout out to all the reverends and the rabbis. I saw some rabbis to follow us as well. So shout out to y'all.
Okay, we out here.
Out here. We here for everybody, and moms, anybody else who follows us. We see you.
We see y'all. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
So with that, we got, and in the future, we got some things coming. So prepare yourselves. Y'all been asking. We got y'all. Anywho, with that said, stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
Have a great week, y'all. Stay blessed, stay stressed. Let's go, USA. Please don't embarrass me.
Amen. All right, peace out. See y'all next week.